Welcome home, neighbors. This is the Sauls family from Tennessee, owners at Saratoga Springs, and you're listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked. Pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 122 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at DVCRentalStore.com. If you're new and you want to try out DVC before you buy, DVCRentalStore.com can match you up with a member and let you try out DVC so that you can see, do you really like the DVC rooms? And as a matter of fact, today's episode is all about selecting a home resort. Maybe it makes sense for you to rent some points at that resort and try before you buy. Excellent idea if you're not quite sure and you're on the fence. DVCRentalStore.com, let them know you heard about them here on the My DVC Points podcast. Today's show is all about picking a home resort. Now here's the really cool news. It doesn't matter if you're an existing member or if you got add-on-itis. This episode can be dual purpose. If you're going to add on, I suggest you re-listen to this episode and come back in and determine, do you want to add more points on to your existing resort? Or should you take this information into consideration and pick a new home resort when you add on your next contract? I think there's a lot of potential here to come back in and pick and choose somewhat of a DVC portfolio. Without further ado, let's jump into today's show. Welcome back, everybody, and we have got the band back together from our first episode in the new member series, and so we're now talking about how do you pick a home resort. There's really three things to consider here. You've got the emotional attachment to a resort as home. You've got what does the 11-month window get me? And then the third thing is financial implications. Let's go ahead and talk about each of these at a high level, and then we'll break it down and apply it to each resort.
Well, I think when we talk about emotional attachment, this is about people who go to Disney and they view DVC not as much as a financial investment. A lot of people, most people, when they look at a timeshare of any type, they're usually not looking at, hey, this is going to be something to, I'm going to build income, build profit, and hand it off to my kids. It's more about now and building memories and being a part of that. And I don't know that there's any stronger brand out there than Disney for building memories. It'd be pretty tough to find something that's better. And so each resort are unique in their own ways. They all have powerful things that maybe no other resort has. So depending upon what it is you're looking for in Disney and what your experience, your family size, the ages, all of that, it all plays into where you're going to think is your favorite place to stay.
Yeah, and really just falling in love with a resort that I love this resort and I want to stay there. That's like the emotional attachment element. And members do this for all kinds of different reasons.
Sure. Like I mentioned, maybe sometimes it's I've got small children, so I want to be near Magic Kingdom because that's the park. They don't want to go anywhere else. They love that. So it makes sense to get a monorail resort or a resort I can walk to Magic Kingdom from. Whereas for us, we fell in love with Animal Kingdom. The first time we stayed there, we didn't have a contract there. We do now. But first time we stayed there, we just felt like we left the United States and we were in Africa, and experiencing those animals in that way was such a powerful impact on my kids that we had to have a contract.
Yeah, that's a great example of an emotional connection there. So Valerie, what can you tell us about 11-month windows?
So the 11-month window, of course, the advantage is you're going to get into the exact resort you want, at which it will be your home resort, on those special dates that you want to go. So if you want to go during spring break or if you want to go during the holidays, that's going to be your best chance to get into those resorts. And that's why it's so important when picking your home resort to make sure that you're picking the one that you want at your 11 month, because the 11 month, the 7 month window, which we'll discuss in a moment, is when it's going to open up for all of the other resorts. Another benefit of the 11 month mark is there are certain rooms that you will only get. And since we just touched on Animal Kingdom, you have the value rooms, you have the club level rooms. Those rooms are completely untouchable unless you are getting those at the 11 month mark. And even at the 11 month mark, you're going to be really hard pressed to get them. Others would include studios at Grand Floridian, and there's some other very difficult to get rooms. So those would also fall under the 11 month window.
Great point. We'll bring those up as we hit on each of these resorts.
Now, the flip side of that is the 7 month window perspective. So are you buying a contract in order to use them mostly at the 7 month mark? So you don't really care which resort is your home resort because you're planning on using them as network points where you would just see what is available at the 7 month mark and be happy pretty much anywhere. And how flexible are you plays into that as well. So if you have a lot of flexibility to your vacationing, then buying points at a lower rate to use at the 7 month window is a great option.
That makes perfect sense. Sometimes you buy a contract not for necessarily the 11 month advantage, but sometimes you buy one to just use at other places, aka Saratoga is very well known for that. And then as well, I want to talk some about the financial implications of this. And I'm going to go into a little bit more detail on it right now so that I can speed through it on each of the resorts. But really, when you're talking about financial implications, you're looking at number one, when does that contract expire? What's the expiration date? Number two, you're going to look at average sales price from resale or the fixed cost at direct. And if you go to our resort wiki at mydvcpoints.com, you can access pretty much all of this information. And it'll also be in the show notes for this particular episode. The resort wiki will be maintained with additional financial information point. And then the final thing that most people look at is the dues. And we'll tell you what the dues are in 2020 for the contract. You could look at how are you going to calculate finance here. I know some people do some different things with time value of money. That's a little more complex than we're going to get into in a podcast, but we're going to just focus on expiration date, resale, direct, the price gap, direct cost per point. That being said, let's move over to Animal Kingdom.
So before we jump into the 11-month window information, let's look at the emotional aspects of Animal Kingdom. I've already shared why we fell in love with it. The savanna and the animals, if you like that experience, it's not like going to a zoo. It just feels more interactive. And so it's an incredible experience. And you're not going to find that anywhere else on property for sure. That's one of the definite emotional draws. The actual resort itself does a lot with educational activities and opportunities to get a feel of Africa, and the experience is more like that. And of course, what got mentioned, one of the things we loved about it was we loved it more in the beginning with our contract than we are now, because it's getting, as was mentioned, we love staying club level. We love it. If I had to pay for it, I would never do it. But with a few points more, it's worth every bit of the points that I give to stay club level when I can get it. And then this last year, being able to stay value, I had very few points, and I was actually able to pull off a complete trip in August because I was able to get the value rooms at 10 points a night. That's crazy. So those are probably the best emotional aspects.
Yeah, and I think it's funny that you're talking about point values as emotions because you love that. Brings you joy.
Yeah. Woohoo, I saved money. Woohoo.
I think all DVC members enjoy that aspect of it, figuring out where we can save our points and be able to extend our stays.
Unless you have the club level room and then you are so emotionally excited for spending the extra points for club level. So that would be the one exception to the rule.
Agreed. Yeah.
That's like the anti-value, right? It's right? Yeah. You're valuing the experience, yeah. Okay? You're valuing the experience and the pampering of club level and the food, the drink. Okay. Everything that comes with that.
Right.
You go from the commoner to the elite. Mm-hmm. No, don't say that's terrible.
Let's talk about the 11-month window at the two resorts that you get with Animal Kingdom. And I guess that's another emotional aspect. You get two resorts to that Animal Kingdom as well. So what's the benefit for an owner at Animal Kingdom at the 11-month window?
The 11-month window is going to, of course, provide access to as as we just mentioned, club level and then value. Kidani typically seems to be very open also at the 7 month window, but during the 11 month, it's really your value and your club level that are going to go very quickly.
Yeah, that's it. And then I think you can even make a case that for those standard view rooms as well, because if you want a standard view room at Jumbo, those tend to go before Kidani does. And sometimes when I'm looking at the 7 month window, they're gone.
And I think you have this to put in air quotes standard view rooms at Jumbo, because a lot of them have quite nice views, sometimes a slightly obscured view of a savanna or a nice pool view. So it's very rarely a parking lot.
Yeah. Whereas over at Kidani, there's some clear cut parking lot view rooms. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When I stayed value a few weeks ago, I actually had a beautiful view of the pool. It's a value room. So yeah, Jumbo has a definite advantage over Kidani. It doesn't have the parking that Kidani has, though, which some people like. But that's another thing about this being an 11-month window kind of a resort, is that there's just more flexibility because Kidani is a large resort. Jumbo is both a DVC resort and it was built out of an actual resort. But between the two, there's a lot of rooms available if you have an Animal Kingdom contract.
Yeah, it's the third largest resort. So that 11-month window there, you get quite a bit of access, even if it's not club level or value.
Yeah. Whereas at some other resorts, so for example, Grand Floridian, where a studio during Christmas is going to be really tough to get during even the 11-month window. At Animal Kingdom, you're pretty much guaranteed you'll be able to get in at Christmas or spring break or any of the holidays where it's typically busier. So definite benefits to being in that 11-month window at Animal Kingdom.
Okay, and now I'll cover the financial aspects of Animal Kingdom. So you're looking at a 2057 expiration date. You got 37 years left. As of time of recording, average resale price, $118. Direct price, $186. The 125-point gap is $8,500. In terms of dues, we are ranking ninth most expensive dues. The average due is of $758 per point. This comes in at $767, which is 9 cents above average. So you've got quite a bit of length left here, and the dues are pretty well average. So when I look at all of this, there's not a lot of reasons I wouldn't own Animal Kingdom from a financial perspective. Moving on to Aulani.
So next, we are looking at Aulani. My largest emotional aspect that's linked to that is it's Hawaii.
Yeah.
I know. And it's...
Aloha.
Exactly. Hello. And it's a really good approximation of the Disney Cruise Line on land. So you've got activities going on continually at the resort. You've got childcare at Auntie's Beach House. They've got amazing restaurants. It's just such an authentic Hawaiian experience built in with all of the cultural aspects that they've scattered throughout the resort. It sucks you in and it draws you in and you just want to stay there forever. So I could totally see why one would buy for an emotional reason at Aulani, and I might be tempted to in the future, I'll let you know. But there's a lot of that cultural connection and just that Disney service that's there that draws you in. How do you guys feel about that?
Expanding on that whole child thing, if your kids are little, the reason why it's like a Disney Cruise Line, it's not like a place where they can just, you can send them for a while for babysitting. It's Auntie's house. And it's just like on the cruise ship. They have activities and things they're doing all day, and they go on adventures and they do crafts. And you could leave your children there inside of that, just like you could on cruise for the whole day. You could feel comfortable because they've got so many things they're doing. So it's an incredible experience for adults and kids.
I think the other emotional aspect here is for West Coasters. Because for West Coast people, they can pop over to Aulani about as easy as they could make it over to the East Coast. And the flights are sometimes even more attractive to go to Hawaii than it is to go to the East Coast. So for people on the West Coast across the pond, I hear a lot of members that are West Coast that love Aulani just because they can get cheap flights to and from Hawaii.
And then as far as 11-month benefits, you have access to those 8 hotel rooms when you're an owner there. And also, yeah, those are pretty amazing. Chad, I think you were telling me a little bit about the backstory of those hotel rooms. How did they come about again?
It came about because the Grand Villas are all on the end cap. One of the end caps has the restaurants down at the bottom level on the first floor. And the two Grand Villas above that our standard view rooms, because the ocean view is partially blocked by the restaurants and things in front of them. Well, Aulani wanted more retail space, so they converted the ground level DVC villa on the other wing into a convenience and food store. And when they did that, they had to take that away. So in order to make up for it, they converted 8 of the hotel rooms there into DVC to make up for the one grand villa that they removed from DVC inventory. So that's how we ended up getting the 8 hotel rooms there. And those go out like that to owners because they are so point effective. And you also get 2 beds there. Okay. So if you're coming with kids and you don't want to deal with the queen size bed and sleeper sofa, you want 2 real beds. Those hotel rooms are the only 8 things you can book there on points, reasonable.
Interesting. I actually had never heard that.
At 11 month, you also have access to those Island Garden View rooms, which are amazing and really great on the points. And then the other benefit of being an owner there is that it actually books up quite quickly with just local Hawaiian residents who are members on the weekends. So they use it kind of as a staycation. So it allows you access to a longer stay and being able to book those weekend days more easily.
Yeah, that is true. Because the one thing is certain in DVC, if you look at any resort, the cheaper point rooms will go fast. And you've got some really expensive rooms at Alani. And you've got some not so expensive rooms at Alani, which would be the standard or the Island Garden Views, the hotel rooms. And those things go to owners like lickety split at the 11 month mark. Now, in terms of financials at Alani, you're looking at 2062 expiration date. So you've got 42 years left on this contract. Resale is going for $97 a point and direct is going for $195 with some incentives. But that creates a $12,250 gap for 125 points. And that puts it number 14 out of 15 resorts. So it's not the greatest value to come back into compared to resale. So what that means is this is one of the best resorts to buy bang for your buck on the resale market. It is the number one value in resale for cost of points going forward. And then over at the dues side of the house, it gets really interesting. It's $8.33 and it ranks 13th. And it's 75 cents above average. However, this is a resale only deal. And if you're in the market for Alani, I would get the DVC resale market app and set this up to find subsidized dues and alert you. You can go back into our Alani series and listen to some of the other episodes and I'll tell you more about the subsidized dues there. But those subsidized dues are $6.26 a point. They are the cheapest dues in the entire DVC network. And they are $1.38 less than the average cost of dues. If I were buying Alani today, I would be coming back in and setting up that filter and buying one of those contracts if I could find one on resale. They're rare. They are very rare. But that's something you can get through resale today that you can't get direct.
Let's talk a little bit about Bay Lake Tower. Say what you will, call it bland, but Bay Lake Tower, if there's one resort that people look at when they think of Disney, or at least I did, it would be the Contemporary. So here you're right next to the Contemporary. You have monorails. You can walk to Magic Kingdom. They have firework views. There's something very magical about staying at Bay Lake with the Contemporary right there. You have Chef Mickey's. There's a whole array of reasons why emotionally this would draw anybody to Bay Lake Towers. So for the 11-month window, some of the benefits are you have access to the standard rooms, which tend to go quicker because, as we mentioned on the other resorts, those lower point rooms are always going to be the first to go. You have access to the theme park views on special holidays. Another thing that's really great is that you, as a guest of Bay Lake Tower, if you're staying there during the 3rd or 4th of July, Christmas, or New Year's Eve, you will have access to Top of the World Lounge. I know in other years they have had some paid events, but they always have at least one day where the guests will be able to get in. For July 4th, they changed it to July 3rd for the fireworks. So a lot of special benefits there with Bay Lake. They do have some of the smallest studios on Walt Disney World property. So there is that to consider. But hey, if you're looking for something extra cozy, it could be the resort for you.
I think I can't underscore enough here, Valerie, that access to those Bay Lake Tower rooms on July 3rd and December 30th, when you get the extra special fireworks at Magic Kingdom. The resort is guaranteed to sell out that night, and quite often, owners are selling it out at the 11-month mark.
Absolutely.
Just because Those special fireworks are so incredible. Definitely. And it doesn't even matter if you are getting a theme park view room or a standard view room, because you do get access to Top of the World that night. And those nights, they do lock it down to just people staying at the Bay Lake Tower.
And when you're talking about fireworks view here, just so you folks understand who've ever stayed in a resort at Disney and somebody says, oh, we could see fireworks from our resort down here and it's on the horizon. And if you get your binoculars, they almost can tell. No, these fireworks, you are like in your face. You are right next to Magic Kingdom. When you see a fireworks view from this resort, you done seen the fireworks.
Because they are literally right there in front of you. If you're at that top floor or near the top of it, it's literally looking straight out at the fireworks. It's at eyeball level. You're not even having to look up that much. Mm-hmm. Let me just cover the finances here at Bay Lake. 40 years left on the contract. Resale's going for about $142 a point or $235 direct. That creates an $11,625 gap. This is the second cheapest resort for dues. And you're coming in at a dollar per point less than average.
Now, Chad, I know that you are an owner at Beach Club. Can you tell us a little bit about your emotional attachment to that one?
It's about two things. It's about Stormalong Bay, and you love the pool, and then the shortest stumble home from Food and Wine. Okay? It's really about those two things.
Or I guess any other festival at this point.
Or any other festival. Point well made. It could be any other festival. You don't have to just do Food and Wine, but it is the shortest walk home from Epcot. And you can also walk over to Hollywood Studios, which with all of this craziness going on with Rise of the Resistance, you would want to walk over there to ensure you can get there in order to make it on time to get into that virtual queue.
That's a good point.
Other than that, the rooms are, I own there, but it's really just for the pool. Okay. I don't have any other emotional attachments to it other than I love the pool and my family loves the pool. We've had a lot of great memories at that pool. So we love Beach Club. It's my favorite Walt Disney World resort by far.
It is the only pool in a resort there that actually feels more, can feel like a water park. And that's the way my kids always viewed it. Their eyes lit up when they knew they were staying at Beach Club.
Yeah.
And also with this resort, the 11-month benefits are definitely there because they give you the access to rooms, which are definitely more difficult to get because of the different festivals and the access to Epcot. These rooms can tend to go, especially during Wine and Dine or any of the other festivals. Also for New Year's, this is a difficult resort to get because a lot of people will either try to get into Magic Kingdom or the tendency is they'll go over to Epcot and they usually have in the past had a really good show there and they wanted to be in Epcot for New Year's. And of course, with the pool, like we said, summertime, it's the one resort where you get a water park built into, it's not really, but the kids think it is, built into it. And big thing, their studios sleep five. So for families of five, this is a great resort.
Yeah, and if you want a studio there, you might find one off peak at the 7 month mark.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. If there's an Epcot festival or a holiday weekend, you can pretty well guarantee the owners have it.
Yeah.
But you have just won the lottery if you can get a studio over at Beach Club. So the one bedrooms, two bedrooms, a little bit easier to come by. And when we have Pete on the show, we'll go over that more in detail.
Now, what are the financials like there?
Okay. So financials of Beach Club. We are looking at 2042 expiration date. So you've got 22 years left on the contract. Resale, you're paying a premium for this. And the rest of the financials are pretty much at a premium when you talk about being an owner here, because resale is $146 a point and $235 direct. It ranks number six in terms of dues, and that puts it 52 cents below average.
Moving on, there's Boardwalk, where emotionally, this is the resort that I bought that the financials don't even make sense, as Chad will get to later. But
well, they don't for Beach Club either. But both of them are.
You know, it's one of those places I already owned at Grand Floridian and Animal Kingdom direct. But when I stayed at Boardwalk, it was just life changing. I had to own there. I didn't care the value of it or that it was expiring in 24 years at that point. Between having the Boardwalk entertainment at night, and there's always so much fun and activity, the walk to Epcot and also an easy walk to the Skyliner, the clown pool, which I tend to like. It's just a fantastic resort. At the 11-month mark, you have access to the standard view rooms, which start at 10 points per night, and then also the grand villas, which become very difficult to get later on. Access to food and wine and other Epcot festivities, which is similar to what Chad said. You know, it's great to just stumble back to your hotel. You don't have to wait on transportation. You don't know how you got back in the morning, but you're there and you had a great time at Epcot the day before, and that's all that matters. Great access to holiday New Year's Eve. And one of the other main attractions for me was we're a party of five. So having the studio that sleeps five was really important to us. Can you talk a little bit more about the financials?
When we're talking Boardwalk, you're not much better off than Beach Club here, but you are a little bit. And I think it's because the resort is bigger, so the supply is bigger on resale, which tends to lower the price a little bit. But you're still looking at $118 a point resale, $200 direct. In terms of dues here, you're middle of the pack, ranked number 7 at $7.37 for dues, which is 21 cents a point cheaper than the average.
Another great resort for folks to look into is Boulder Ridge. It's a fantastic resort. It's if you're into nature and you like that, the beautiful feeling, you don't like, you want to feel like you're in Florida, you want to feel like you're somewhere else, this is a great one. Super relaxing. Boulder Ridge actually also has Walt's Train Room for those of you that are fans of the history. That's a fantastic experience there. And of course, then Copper Creek is right there as well. It's a new DVC expansion. And much of the same things are there, same things you can experience as Boulder Ridge. One other thing for both of them, though, is, wow, you want to be here for Christmas. It is gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't think you can beat the relaxing chill element. Unless the animals at Animal Kingdom bring you that zen-type chill, which does happen for most people. But for me, the most relaxing thing I can do is go to Wilderness Lodge. Boulder Ridge, Copper Creek side, it doesn't really matter to me. It's that rustic nature feel where I can just let my inner redneck run loose. I don't feel like I have to wear a collared shirt. It's like tourist gear is perfectly fine there. It's that level of low key. And that to me is super relaxing and super chill. And I get emotionally attached to that aspect of it. Because if I could build a house, I would build one in the woods, okay, that was away from everybody that had that nature feel to it. It's just not in the cards for where I live.
And that tree at Christmas, it just screams holidays. It's amazing.
And I think you bring up a great point there. When you start talking about the 11-month benefit, you're really talking about the holiday seasons of Thanksgiving, Christmas time, when this resort is in its glory in all of the Christmas decorations. A lot of people consider this the most beautiful resort at Disney at Christmas. There's some debate here, but I can just tell you Wilderness Lodge will rank at the top, both Boulder Ridge and Copper Creek side. So you can get that 11-month access to it at Christmas time there. And then the other part of it is, if you want a studio at Copper Creek, the owners have a really hard time getting them most of the year. And I think that's because more people bought into that resort wanting a studio than bought into that resort wanting those big, luxurious cabins. So they sold a lot of points for the cabins, but I think they ended up being bought by studio buyers. So you do hear quite a bit of discussion in the community that it's hard to book a studio at the 11-month mark at Copper Creek.
The studios over at Boulder Ridge are an 11-month window thing too, because they sleep five, and those are rare.
Yeah, great point there as well. And the other thing to keep in mind here is at Animal Kingdom, if you own Animal Kingdom, you get access to Kidani and Jumbo at the 11-month mark. If you own Boulder Ridge or Copper Creek, you only get access at the 11-month mark to the side that you bought. Okay. We're covering them together because it's the same resort, but they were sold 20 plus years apart. And so that being said and done, they are separate DVC resorts in terms of the 11-month booking window. Now, if you own either of them, you can book either of them at the 7-month mark.
So, Chad, can you tell us a little bit about the financials for Copper Creek and Wilderness?
Yeah, no problem. Looking at Boulder Ridge, you're talking about another 2042 resort with 22 years left on the contract. Average resale price, $106. Direct, $186. Now, in terms of dues at Boulder Ridge, you're looking at 10th on the list at $7.78 per point, but that's only 20 cents above average dues. So it's really not that bad to own there. And then when we flip over to Copper Creek, you're looking at a 2068 expiration date, $148 a point average resale cost versus $220 direct. When we start doing a dues analysis here, $7.45 is 13 cents cheaper than average, and it ranks number 8 in terms of the pack on cost per point and dues. So it's right there in the middle on dues.
Good to know. Brad, I know how much you love Grand Cal. Can you tell us a little bit more about that one?
So yeah, the emotional aspects of bottom line is if you're a Disneyland fan, this is it right now. We'll talk about it in a little bit, but right now this is the only DVC resort, is Grand Californian. It is an incredible resort. It is stunning architecture, beautiful. And it's the only park that actually has a direct access into the park right from the hotel. You can take a private entrance into California Adventure from inside the resort. And so that creates an emotional aspect because there's nothing else quite like that. So it's also very close to downtown Disney and not a very long walk to Disneyland. It's a great location.
And not only mention, if you're the type of person who likes the grand level, like the finer elements of DVC, this ranks up there at the top. You cannot beat the fit and finish of this resort. And if you're a Disneyland person, you're just talking my language here. This is by far my favorite resort in DVC that I've been to. Going to Aulani might change that. I doubt it because I'm just attached to this resort in all shapes and forms. That relaxed part of Copper Creek, it had the same architect.
Now, I know for like the 11-month window, Chad, you particularly bought there so that you would have access there. And that's pretty much the 11-month benefit for everyone. Access to any of the room types there. It is the smallest of the DVC resorts, and a lot of owners buy exclusively there to use their contract for the Grand Cal only at Grand Cal. And it also, to keep in mind, it takes a lot of points to stay there.
Yeah, so the 11-month benefit here is pretty much without it, good luck. You really have to win the DVC lotto to find anything in that resort at the 11-month mark, okay? You can occasionally snag a one-bedroom or a two-bedroom. Studios, pretty much all gone to owners all the time. If you happen to find one, go buy yourself a lottery ticket because it's your lucky day, okay?
I was going to ask, Chad, what are the financials like on the Grand Cal? Because it's kind of all off on its own on the West Coast.
Yeah, so you've got some interesting things going on here. A, this is the darling gem of DVC. It is the smallest resort. When you start talking about the size of the resort here, there's 18 buildings over at Saratoga. The one building at Grand Cal is about the same size as one of the Saratoga buildings, to put that into perspective. So it's about 1/18 the size of Saratoga. Not exactly, but that's pretty close. So you've got very few contracts here. I've heard that there were less than 5,000 contracts issued for this whole resort. So that makes them very low supply. And because it's the only game in town over at Disneyland, very high demand. So on the resale, get ready for this. Last month on the resale, Grand Cal averaged $215 a point. Keep in mind, Riviera at rack rate is $195. So people are paying above brand new Riviera prices for resale Grand Cal. If you want to buy this direct from Disney, you're looking at $280 per point. Here's the good news, though. In terms of dues, it's $6.60 per year. It ranks third on the list for cheapest dues and is 98 cents cheaper than average. So while you pay a lot per point there, you're going to make up for it in the dues. And part of the reasons why I think the dues are always going to be cheaper at Grand Cal is there's no Magical Express to pay for. There's no boats. There's no buses. There's no monorail to pay for. There's no Skyliner. There is zero transportation that comes with that resort because you're responsible for getting your family from the airport to the Grand Cal. And then as well, everything is walking distance, and it's the ultimate short walking distance there in Disneyland. So they really don't have to pay for any kind of transportation in Disneyland, which I think is part of the reason why those dues are so cheap there.
So I've never had the opportunity to stay at the Grand Floridian, but I hear, Valerie, this is one of your resorts.
Yes. So the Grand Floridian is one of my resorts and one of my favorite of all DVC resorts. I literally went for the preview, walked into the room, told my husband we were just going to look around, and I would definitely not be buying. By the time I walked out of the first room, the first studio, I believe is what they showed us, I was ready to sign on the line. It's just an amazingly opulent resort. The fixtures, everything in the rooms. Now, I know Riviera, which we'll get to in a little bit, has similar amenities and fixtures and stuff in the rooms, but there was just something very special at the time.
It's not there, though. Right?
Oh, really? Okay. I'll have to stay there. I haven't stayed yet, so I have to make the comparison.
Yeah, Riviera is a Grand Flo wannabe in terms of that level of opulence. Just my opinion, okay? It's still nice, but it's still not that level of Grand Flo.
Okay, so I don't need to buy Riviera right now is what you're telling me.
No.
Not yet. But it's just a fantastic resort. It's so charming. We discussed how Grand Cal is small. Grand Floridian is also a very small resort. So you're going to want to own there if you wish to book studios, or especially the standard studios. And during the holidays, you will not get into this resort either. It's very difficult and limited. One of the smallest DVC resorts. So at the 11-month mark, you're going to need that in order to get in. The Grand Villas are particularly luxurious. I've never stayed in one, but I've looked at them a lot online and they are gorgeous. They also allowed for a fixed week contract, which I believe you can still buy if you buy direct. And there are some contracts out there that you can get resale for fixed weeks, which if you can get them, you want to snag those because they're worth a lot.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And those fixed weeks are like a 12-month benefit. Okay.
Yeah, they are.
Because literally 12 months in advance, Member Services books the room for you and it just shows up in your bookings.
Amazing.
Yeah. So if you're looking at a Christmas week or something that's really hard to get, that's a pretty attractive contract. Everything from Grand Flo Built Forward also offers the fixed week contracts, which we'll discuss in a future episode in this series.
I didn't realize. That's really interesting. I thought it was really just something that Grand Floridian offered and then Riviera. Chad, can you talk to us a little bit about the financials on Grand Floridian?
The financials at Grand Flo, you're looking at a 2064 expiration date, $156 a point resale, which I think is a pretty good value. Direct, $255 a point. In terms of dues, we've got some really good news here. It is the cheapest resort for dues right now. It's $6.56, and that puts it at $1.02 below average. I still can't figure out why the dues are so cheap there, other than the fact that it's a tower resort, which we know generally has cheaper dues, but you've still got the monorails and the boats to pay for.
So the next resort that we're going to talk about is Hilton Head, and I can definitely attest to the low country, relaxed charm that you have at that resort. There's also like a great connection with the cast members there because it is one of those standalone resorts. And so it just draws you in as far as its charm and its warmth, and the people there are just great. So as far as 11-month benefit, it is really difficult to book at Hilton Head during the summer season. So that access to studios, it's really difficult to come by for not only studios, but any type of room during the summer months. It's also good for anybody who enjoys having golfing vacations. So that season is also a little bit shorter than the full year. And it's also a good one for networking points if you can find contracts for it. Chad, what do you think about the financials on that one?
Sandy, before I cover the financial aspects, let's just reiterate, this is a summer resort and you almost have to have the 11-month advantage to get there in summer unless you're really lucky or you're coming in behind a cancellation, because that is when this resort is at its peak and prime. But looking at the financials of the resort, 2042 expiration date, resale, $71 per point, direct $135 per point. In terms of dues, hold on, second worst in the network at $9.10 per point. And that is $1.52 per point higher than average. So if you're going to own a big contract at Hilton Head, get ready to pay some dues.
Moving on, let's talk about the granddaddy of all the resorts, the oldest, Old Key West, the original DVC resort. And honestly, that's one of the key emotional ties to Old Key West. For those that got into DVC early, this was the first resort, and for them, it's their favorite. It's a great resort because of some call it the full destination resort because it's so close to the Disney Springs and it's more centralized in aspect to the different parks. And so it's a great location, great swimming pool and all these different things. And so there's a lot of emotional tie to this being that very first resort.
Brad, there's a lot of owners out there that are like Old Key West super fans.
Yeah.
Okay? You're talking like super fans, never go anyplace else other than Old Key West. And that's just their jam. That's what they love. Don't even talk to me about any other resorts. I'm so happy at Old Key West.
That is so true.
Old Key West is a very special experience. And for me and for our family, we love to stay there. When you're looking in that 7-month window and maybe you're not an owner there and it's the only thing available, we're very happy about that because we'll take Old Key West any day of the week. It's just there's something very special and there's a great feel. It's very relaxed. It's just a fantastic resort.
But there are definitely advantages for the 11-month here. The Grand Villas, Chad, maybe you've heard the same thing, but it seems like people really talk about their Grand Villas being one of their favorites as far as Grand Villas.
They're the cheapest Grand Villas in the network.
Yeah.
Like and, by far.
And they're huge. You have two stories and it's just a fantastic layout.
Yep. In the 11-month, there's preferred rooms, which are basically near the hospitality house. You're probably not going to get those if you don't do it at 11-month. And the standard view rooms tend to go quickly, too. So even though you'll see rooms there at the 7-month window, there are certain rooms that are the favored ones. And the people that own there will tell you right out why they own at 11, so they can do it 11-month and get those rooms.
Yeah, those are called near hospitality house when you go to book. And the story goes, the Old Key West owners got together and approached Disney and said, hey, look, all of these other resorts have 11-month benefits. Our resort is so huge, we really don't have an 11-month benefit, but the most requested rooms are those buildings right near the hospitality house. You can get off at that first bus stop in Old Key West and walk to your room. Or you can come walk over to hospitality house and pick up the last bus going out to the parks. You're also close to Olivia's. You're close to the feature pool. There's a lot of reasons why people love staying near the hospitality house. And the owners got together and asked DVC, hey, could you create a booking category called near hospitality house so that the owners could have 11-month access to the rooms that are more desirable at their own resort? And so that's what DVC did. And that's one of the huge benefits at the 11-month window is you can book those rooms that are guaranteed to be near hospitality house, and you can get access to those grand villas that are extremely attractive on the point chart.
So with this being the very first resort, I'm interested to hear what the financial comparisons are for this one.
Yeah, this one gets a little bit tricky, and that's because a few years back, DVC started to extend the contracts. They came to members and said, hey, look, even though you're a 2042 expiration date, for I think it was $10 a point and then $25 a point on their second offering, they said, hey, we'll extend your contract another 15 years and you'll expire at 2057. And it wasn't really well executed. Not a lot of people did it. But once they started doing that, the direct side quit selling 2042 contracts and they only started selling 2057 contracts. So the only contract you can buy from direct at Old Key West is an extended contract. On the resale market, if the owner never extended them, they still pop up all the time on resale. Okay. And so you're looking at 2042 or 2057 expiration date. So in terms of the 2042 contracts, you'll only find them on resale at $105 a point. They're not sold direct, but when direct does sell Old Key West, it comes in at $165 per point. And dues at Old Key West are the same whether you got the extended or the 2042. It's $7.84, and it ranks number 11th, which sounds bad to be 11 out of 15, but that's really only 26 cents above average. So the dues here aren't all that bad. A little secret here is I think there's something off in the DVC formula because normally when DVC prices their contracts, it's against what the market's doing in resale. And they're doing it off 2042 resale data, but they're giving you the 2057. So that's why this resort ranks so highly and having the smallest gap to resale. And for me personally, if I were looking for a blue card today and I needed to buy direct points, this is what I would end up buying for the simple fact that the dues are pretty much average, but you've got the smallest gap. And the smaller the gap that I have to make up, the easier it is to justify the cost of this blue card. So if when we get into the direct versus resale, I'm seriously going to be looking at Old Key West Extended from direct to get my blue card.
That's a great point, Chad.
It really, truly is.
So from there, we head on over to the Polynesian. And so as an owner there, I know that there are a couple of emotional aspects for our family. One of them is it was one of the first resorts to open up at Walt Disney World. In fact, I think it was the first resort to open up. That's a cool little tidbit. The other thing that we really enjoyed about it is that it is great for younger families. So when our kids were little and they were in their strollers, it was really convenient to be able to roll onto the monorail to either go to Magic Kingdom or Epcot from there. And we also really enjoy the relaxed vibe of the resort and still having that kind of feeling like you're on vacation somewhere on an island, but you can have an amazing view of the castle right from the beach. The other aspect of it is that it's great if you're bringing grandma along on your trip with you with those little kids, because the studio is Sleep 5. So that was another kind of emotional aspect to it. And we really love the mid-century modern kind of design aesthetic that they've got going on there. Does anybody else want to talk about what the benefits are to the 11th month window there?
To be honest with you, I own Poly. And other than holiday weekends, there is so many studios. There's 300 plus studios there that you really don't need the 11-month window there. They're almost always available at the 7-month mark outside of key holiday weekends, Run Disney events, times when all of Walt Disney World sells out and you just need to own something in Walt Disney World to get an 11-month access. Example, Run Disney weekends. Mm-hmm. There's only 3 booking categories of rooms and they're almost always available at the 7-month mark. The bungalows, forget it. They're always available at the 7-month mark.
Okay. Yeah, they're available at the 3-day mark.
The other thing to note about this resort is that there are no 1 bedrooms, there are no 2 bedrooms, and there are no 3-bedroom grand villas like you have at the other resorts. So I think you had done a little bit of number crunching recently, Chad, and you had figured out that it was actually really great for renting out points. So can you speak a little bit to that?
Of course, Sandy. If you look over at dvcrentalstore.com, Poly is the number one requested resort. And I think that's because when you start comparing the cash rates of that resort to the DVC point cost to rent, people are figuring out that they can save thousands of dollars by renting points. And arguably, they get a little bit nicer room because they've all got that 5th person accommodation in there. And they've all got the double bathrooms. So what that means is if you're looking to rent out points, it's a pretty attractive resort to own. And when we get into the financials of it, I'll just skip straight to the dues because the dues matter when you're renting. It's the 5th cheapest dues in the network at $6.79, which is 79 cents lower than the average price. So if you're looking at this at the rental perspective, you're looking at that cost per point, which if you buy resale at $153, you're paying about $3.40 per point. If you buy it direct, you're paying about $5.44 per point. And then when you add the dues onto that, you're really looking at around a $10, $11 kind of a range, maybe $12 if you bought direct, but I wouldn't buy direct to rent. So it's a really great renting resort, and the math on it works out that you might be able to make a little bit of money on it as a rental property. Okay, I don't think it's all that great to do that. I think there's other opportunities out there, but if you're looking to do DVC for rental, this would be my number one choice.
So I had a chance to talk about our oldest resort. Let's talk about the newest resort, Riviera. And it's got some unique features to it that I'll get to in the financials probably. But Riviera, I had a chance to stay there recently. And I think we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, Chad. I think you nailed it. It is opulent. It is beautiful. It is Grand Flow Junior. It feels a little bit more intimate, the Grand Flow. So if you want that feeling more than the Grand Flow is very flowing and big, it's great. But, and then for those that have fallen in love with the new transportation for the Skyliner, this is a Skyliner lover's resort right here.
Yeah, I think you hit it where it's a little bit more intimate than the Grand Flow, because it seems like gray is the primary color of this resort, which, believe it or not, is a little more warmer than the sterile white over at the Grand Flow. The Grand Flow, that white Victorian, makes it a little bit more formal. And I think the white plus the red roof at the Grand Flow gives it this Victorian formality to it. And I think that gets toned down a little bit over at Riviera when the primary building color is gray with some blue and red shutter trim.
One of the great benefits of being there at the 11-month window is the access to those tower studios. And I think, Brad, you had mentioned recently that you had stayed in one of those.
Yeah, actually, that my last stay, I did stay for a couple nights in the tower studios. The best way to describe it is you feel like you just gone on a cruise ship. It's got a cabin size feel to it. Bathroom, though, it's huge, very comfortable. It's very nice. The point charts were nice, so that made available. But there aren't very many of them. So you really need to have the 11-month window to enjoy this one. And the standard view rooms, especially if you're wanting a view of the Epcot fireworks and stuff, they're more limited. So you definitely want to own at the 11-month window for some of those more specialized kind of room.
Yeah, that's true. And what's weird here is I think they got the point charts backwards. Because members want the view of Epcot, but those are all marked standard view rooms. And the preferred view rooms are overlooking the lake and Caribbean Beach Resort, which I don't really care to see. I'd rather have a night view of the fireworks. And I think most members feel the same way. So it's they're marked as standard, but we in the member community really prefer them. And we definitely prefer them because they're cheaper points. Make no mistake about that.
So now this one's going to be interesting on the financials because it's the brand new resort.
Yeah, this one is just a hot mess in terms of the financials. Because it's the active property, you've got 49 years left, 50 years left on this contract, depending on your use year. This is the best value in terms of cost per point per year's remaining from Disney. Riviera is kind of a hot mess, and it has to do with these resale restrictions, or you might even consider them the curse on the second owner. And that's because the first owner gets all the great benefits of go any place they want. The second owner and beyond can only stay at Riviera. These are some new restrictions / curse contracts, in my opinion. And so, that being said and done, even though the expiration date is now 2070, which is almost 50 years of full points left on this contract, resale, you're looking at $150 a point now with a big caveat star. I'll get to that in a second. Direct is selling for $195 per point with incentives. But I think the market is slightly inflated right now on Riviera resale because it's so new, so few owners are trying to sell their contracts there. I think once the market starts to get flooded and we get to that 7-year point, it's going to be a completely different story because then the full effect of these resale restrictions will be kicking in. Right now, you've got a lot of members who are still buying these contracts resale thinking, well, I've got points I can use elsewhere. As time goes on and more people don't have points that they can use elsewhere, I think this is really going to come back in and not hold its value the way other DVC resorts have. That's so just a theory.
Yeah, but Chad, what are those resale restrictions? You didn't mention that. What's that?
Okay. So the way it works is if you buy Riviera direct from Disney, you get full 11-month and full 7-month exchanges. However, the contract has got like a voodoo curse on it. And the fact that the second owner and beyond, if you don't buy this from Disney and you buy it from somebody who bought it from Disney, aka resale, you can only book the Riviera Resort. That is your only choice. So at 7 months, there is no 7-month window. Okay. You get to book this at 11 months. At 7 months, everybody else gets to book your resort, but you can't book anybody else's. So what that means is if you're a Riviera resale owner, you'd better book at the 11-month mark because there could be nothing left and no place for you to go in any of the DVC systems other than depositing your points in RCI, which will get you off property from Disney. if you want to go to Disney, you better book at the 11-month mark or take your chances at the 7-month mark that something comes open. So that's the restrictions that are on that. And right now, the market hasn't fully reacted to that. I think it's going to react quite negatively to that in the future, but we don't know. Okay, we honestly don't know what the market's going to do with this because it's such a new thing and it's unprecedented.
Wow, that is a huge, that's a deal breaker, I bet, for some. That's a big difference. But what about the dues? You've been doing that comparison.
Okay, so you're absolutely right. It's a deal breaker for me because I don't want to get stuck with that later. I don't want to take the risk that my contract's not going to hold value compared to everything else in DVC that has historically done so well. But the dues are $8.31 per point, and that puts it as the 12th most expensive resort out of 15 and the most expensive in Walt Disney World. However, that's only 73 cents per point higher than average, so it's really not that bad. And historically, if we look at Copper Creek, Disney has been charging a lot up front for these dues when it's initially on sale, and the increases have been minimal. So I would say within the next few years, if this thing starts to stay steady and everybody else starts to rise, it'll look a whole lot more attractive in dues going forward.
So the next resort is a resort that was actually my very first contract. I actually bought it from Downtown Disney in Disneyland. So I'd never been to Disney World before. And that was Saratoga Springs. I think from the emotional tie to this resort, if you've stayed there, we talk about other resorts being relaxing. I'm not sure many could beat this place. It's just very relaxing. And it's become more valuable just recently because it is the best resort for Disney Springs access. You can literally just walk right over into Disney Springs now that they've really expanded that into kind of a destination. And also, it's another one of those resorts that has a unique room design that nobody else has, and that's the Treehouse Villas, which are very nice. Now, what do you think are the benefits at this resort?
As you mentioned, treehouses are definitely a great use of having a small amount of points, get you a pretty large room. We're actually going there this Thursday for the first time to stay in the treehouses, and we're looking forward to it. That's definitely something you're going to want if you want that kind of availability where it's not as much as what you would spend on a grand villa, and it's slightly less. So you're definitely going to want to own at Saratoga. If you want to see and stay at those treehouses, like you mentioned, Brad, because although they're readily available for most of the year, if you're looking to stay there between November 1st and mid-January, you're going to want to own at the 11-month mark because they are tough to get.
Yeah, the same thing applies to the Grand Villas there as well, that they tend to sell out in those exact time frame months. And I don't know why that is. I guess I'd have to ask Pete or talk to some more people. But the treehouses have always been available when I go, but I don't go at that time. That's some really good insights there.
Since I own here, I'd like to hear about the financials on this one. So I'm taking notes, Chad. Tell me.
If you're looking for the best economic resort to own, Saratoga is right there at the top. And the reason why is this resort is so huge. It is the number one resold timeshare on the planet. Let that sink in. There are more buyers and sellers buying resale at this resort than any place else. And the resort is huge for DVC. But because of that, the point has consistently stayed and hovered around the $100, $102 at the resale market because there's so much activity and there's so much supply and demand on this. If you go to purchase it direct, you're looking at $165 a point. And in terms of dues, it's $6.77 a point, which is 81 cents cheaper than the average. And it's the fourth cheapest dues in the network. My personal take on it is if you're happy at the 7-month mark going anyplace, Saratoga is a phenomenal place to own. It is excellent network points. We bought them just for having some network points. And now I'm a little bit giddy that I'm going, well, if I ever wanted a treehouse in December or January, or a grand villa, I might be able to pull those off for a couple nights.
For sure, Chad. Moving on, Sandy, I know that you love Vero Beach. Can you tell us a little bit more about that resort?
Our family loves Vero Beach. We became emotionally attached on our actual first DVC trip ever. It just draws you in. Different emotional aspects of this resort are you have the wonderful Disney service without the hustle and bustle of the park. So it really is a standalone resort on the Atlantic coast of Florida. It's got, of course, a relaxed beach vacationing vibe to it. And it's the same cast members year after year. So for example, we go back every year and some of the cast members still remember what our kids' names are, which is quite remarkable when you think about it. And it just feels like being at like a family resort, like kind of what you see on Dirty Dancing, where they go off and everybody knows each other. You have commonly different families that always vacation there at the same time of year. So it's got just this great family vibe to it. Now, the benefits at the 11-month mark are you have access to the Standard View Inn rooms. And the major benefit is access to those beach cottages, which are amazing. They're right on the beach overlooking the bluff, and you just can't get a better view of the ocean than you can from there. There's also access to the dates during the summer months, especially around the 4th of July and the Tour de Turtle events. And then there's also access to the holiday season. It becomes very, not crowded, but very difficult to book during the holiday season, as well as anything having to do with spring break period. So dealing with, let's say, any time from kind of mid-February till after Easter becomes difficult to book there. And it's also very popular with Floridians who are DVC members as a quick weekend getaway.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. Floridians love it. Holiday weekends are hard to get. 4th of July weekend included. The Turtle Week, really hard to get. And those phenomenal beach cottages. They take the place of the grand villas in that resort, but they are the original OG standalone units that kind of inspired the bungalows. Because those things are so hard to get, DVC built so many bungalows. But the difference is you're talking like 70, 80 points a night for a beach cottage versus 170, 200 points a night for the Polynesian bungalows. There's a reason why those beach cottages are so desirable. A, they're awesome. B, they're very point affordable. And C, there's only six of them, so you kind of need to own there to get dibs on them.
Definitely. Now, Chad, I know it's not the greatest on the financial side. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, not the greatest is the polite way of saying it. Most people look at this resort and go $10.13 per point. It is the most expensive DVC resort out there. It is $2.55 per point higher than average. So that is the elephant in the financial room at Vero Beach. Now, there's some upsides to this. Because the point costs are so high, it's also on the cheapest list to buy on resale. You're only going to pay $66 a point on resale, and direct would be $120 a point. Now, most of us come in and look at the dues and factor that into the equation. You really have to love Vero Beach and want access to that 11-month window in order to buy there. And a lot of people do, including yourself, right, Sandy?
Definitely. We fell in love with it on our first trip, and no regrets about buying our contract there.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes into it, and some people look at this and they fall in love with it, and they put the emphasis on that element of it. Other people look at it and go, what does the 11-month window give us? Other people look at it and go, it's all about the money. I'll take what I can get at 7 months. How do I find a more financial resort? And I think we've covered everything in the DVC network so far up until that point.
Mm-hmm. There's one other resort that I know, Chad, you and I have talked a lot about that we're really looking forward to falling in love with. How about the new Disneyland Tower? Give us a drum roll.
We are all waiting with bated breath for this to come. And I think it's because the Grand Cal is just so inaccessible for most people at the 7 month mark, that we're really looking forward to another place coming into Disneyland. But the problem is we don't know an awful lot about it. We know it's going to be about the same size in terms of number of rooms as Bay Lake Tower. And we know it's going to have a very heavy mix on studios, which makes sense for California because Disneyland is not a week-long destination resort. It's a pop-in for 2, 3, 4 days at most kind of a resort.
Yeah, because really, think about it. That's the emotional tie. If you love Disneyland, you can finally get a room there, because good luck with Grand California. Chad, you owned it, Grand California, and even for you at 11 month, it was tough. Of course, the 11 month benefit from what we guess is going to be the fact that it's going to be, it's even though it's bigger for those that are trying to do DVC to Disneyland, everybody's expecting this thing to be very busy. So the 11 month window could very well play a very big part for those who have an emotional connection to Disneyland.
Yeah. The other thing I will say about this as well, if you're looking for a blue card, I would probably either go Old Key West or hold out a few years until Disneyland Tower opens up, for the simple fact that this is just me pontificating about future resale values, but you buy Grand Cal to only go to Grand Cal. You would buy Disneyland Tower to only go to Disneyland Tower. So I think whatever woes Riviera will face, it's got 14 other huge resorts nearby that are going to compete. In Disneyland, you've got one tiny, tiny, teeny bitty little resort that people can go to. So I still think you're going to want to buy this in order to go there. So
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree.
So
I'm saving my money.
Yeah. So if I had advice for people looking to get a blue card, I would either go Old Key West extended, or I would just hold out until Disneyland Tower goes on sale and wait that out and see what happens with that resort. Because to me, this is going to be a darling gem of the future. And well, I'm not even worried about the resale restrictions out there.
Yeah. And I think, Chad, when we do, when whichever one of us or both of us buy them, we need to combine points to whatever. We'll get Sandy and Valerie out there for their first trip to Disneyland. How about
that? I'm so down for that.
Count me in.
We'll have to get us a grand villa, Brad, and have us a big old party, okay?
For sure. There you go. Let's do it.
Sounds good to me.
Although there's only going to be two of them there. That's what's crazy.
It's going to be hard. You'll definitely have to have 11 months for that one.
Totally. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding, no kidding. That pretty much wraps up this episode. Thanks for joining us, Valerie, Brad, and Sandy.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that puts another episode in the books. I want to thank DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, Monera Financial, and Incredible Vacation Homes for sponsoring the My DVC Points podcast. If you're looking for more information on picking a home resort, be sure to go over to mydvcpoints.com and then click Resort Wiki in the upper right-hand corner. Our website was built to always have the latest information on there, from average resale prices, dues information, room walkthroughs. We're continuing collaborating with other members and adding pages and information onto that Resort Wiki site. And it's to the point where it's getting pretty substantial now. So if you haven't checked it out, mydvcpoints.com, and look at the resort. I'd like to thank Spencer CL for this awesome 5-star review. This is the best Disney podcast to see what you can get out of a DVC membership. A wealth of information and experience. Thank you so much for those kind words, Spencers. And that's going to wrap up today's show. Now, I hope you guys go out there and plan something magical for your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.